know how to flow? That is the question, because we're going to talk about flowing with the Holy Spirit. And it was cool because one of the scriptures that God had brought, well, two of the scriptures that God had brought to my mind this morning, well, throughout the week, I mean, was in Brian Covered in Sunday school. I thought he was going to preach my message, part of it, for a minute there. But that's okay, because if that's what the Lord does, then we need to hear it twice. And that's a good thing. And so Sunday school is at 10 a.m. for adults in the fellowship hall, and we have classes for all the children. It's a awesome time, and many times it just the whole you see the Holy Spirit just orchestrating things, preparing us. So today we're going to talk about the fact, though, that being brave doesn't come from our own bravery. It's not the men that we're going to look at. And it wasn't because they were just brave men, like they were the type that just knew how to fight and knew how to do battle. It wasn't about that. And that gives me hope, because I have said to people, I'm not a brave soul. Now, I, Janine will admit this, was braver than my sister when it came to like watching movies. Like, well, my mom didn't let us watch scary movies, but you know, I wasn't scared as far as the dark or as far as, you know, that kind of thing. But I was scared of like confrontation and people. And we're going to talk about battles today. And most of us are not fighting battles with Philistines. You know, we don't have our sword, physical sword out, you know, killing people, you know, that are trying to kill us. But we're facing battles that affect our lives and the lives of our families and the lives of other people around us all day, every day. Battles with how we respond to situations, battle with our flesh, battles with the spirit. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Listen, it is a very real thing. We have a very real enemy that does not want us to make it spiritually. He wants to distract us, to discourage us, to hinder us from not only being who God has called us to be and doing what God has called us to do, but by that, any influence that we would have and those around us. And so it is a powerful thing to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit in every battle that we face, in every decision that we make. So Acts 1:8, we're going to just read this scripture and then you can be seated. But Acts 1:8, if you want to stand, and we'll read. Jesus said this to the disciples before he ascended back to heaven, and it was recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You can be seated. So being a witness, speaking the right words, handling the situations that we face in our lives, and being brave doing it requires a lot more than our own wisdom. And the cool thing is, it doesn't matter our age. We can learn to be brave and to obey God when we're at school, when we are at home, you know, when we are facing an issue with our children or our siblings or our husband and wife, when we're facing an issue at work, when we're facing an issue in our country. It is from this smallest details to the biggest, that if we will learn to flow with the Holy Spirit and invite him into the decisions that we make all day, he will train us, he will teach us, and we can learn how to flow. So we have lots of examples in the Bible, though, that teach us how to do this and how to listen to God. So we're going to look at one of David's battles with the Philistines. So David was brave. He was the one, you know, that fought Goliath. But we keep seeing in David's life, David was not brave just because he was a brave soul. He was brave because of his relationship with God. He wasn't brave just because he was a good warrior and he was like, these Philistines, I can take them. Like, we're better trained than they. We have better weapons. Like, we can take them. That's not what his mentality was. His mentality was, God, if you are going before us, if you're going to give us the victory, then we're going to have the victory. Okay, so 2 Samuel 5, 17 through 25, we're going to read. And we're going to see that David was willing to do things God's way and wait to move until God said move. That is a hard thing to learn. I have been walking with God a long time, and it is still hard for me to tell the flesh to wait when it wants to move. But it's an important part of the Christian life. So 2 Samuel 5:17 through 25 says, Now, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Then the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against these Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" They usually did this through the priests. The priests have the Urim and the Thummim, and they would ask, and there's a lot of teaching on that. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that. But now I believe also David had a relationship with God Almighty. We see through the Psalms that David would prophesy through the Psalms. God would prophesy through him as he was writing. And so we today have the Holy Spirit as Christians. We have the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." So I am telling you, if you are a Christian, if you have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus and you are living surrender to him, you can hear God's voice. It might take you some learning to differentiate between, is this myself? Is this the enemy trying to confuse me? Is this other people that are in my head? Or is this actually God? We all go through that. But we can learn through examples in the Bible and through walking with God and through, most importantly, reading the Bible, we can learn to hear God's voice. Because most often, at least for me, when I first really started hearing God's voice and recognizing it to be God's voice, God would speak through the Scripture. Now, God doesn't always only just quote scriptures, and it's especially, just so you know, not in King James. God doesn't say, "Thou must go." You know, I mean, he speaks to us often. He says things how we would say it. He knows us. And he'll say things like Rick said one time, he was doing something, and he said it was like he saw the Holy Spirit going, like, "Really? Are you good?" God will reveal himself to us. He will speak to us. And so here, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." So David went to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. In the New Living Translation, I want to just read that verse, verse 20 in the New Living. It says, "So David went to Baal-perazim and defeated the Philistines there. The Lord did it," David exclaimed. "He burst through my enemies like a raging flood." So he named that place Baal-perazim, which means "the Lord who burst through." Okay, verse 21, we're going to continue. "And they left their images there," they, the Philistines, they left their idols there, "and David and his men carried them away." They didn't take them home so that they could bow down to them. They, you know, took them away. Verse 22, "Then the Philistines went up again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim." Notice, the same place, the same enemy that David has already fought, and God told him, "Go up and I will, you know, fight for you." "Therefore, David inquired of the Lord." We're going to talk about this. It is necessary that even when we're fighting the same battle with the same people, that we say to God, "What do you want me to do this time?" Because God might have different instructions like he did for David. So, let's see, where am I? "Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, 'You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And then you shall advance quickly.'" That word in the Hebrew, it means to be alert, decide, determine, move. God says, "Then when you hear this sound, then go, move, fight. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. So the first time that David fought the Philistines in this valley, it was direct and decisive. "Go and fight. I will fight for you. You will win." And he did. The second time, though, God said, "Go around, come behind, and then wait until you hear this sound, and then go and fight." So it's interesting to me. My notes are out of order. Sorry. It's interesting to me how God told him what to do. He said, "Go around, this behind them, and then come in front of the trees, and when you hear the sound of marching, will you play that sound sign by Joe? So when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, then go. Very interesting, right? God is a God of variety. You can stop that. Thank you. I could keep preaching with it in the background, but it might be difficult. So God's instructions were to go a roundabout way and then wait. How many of us have ever had God give us those kinds of instructions? We're not going to do this the direct, decisive way. We're going to do it a roundabout way, and then we're going to wait until you hear me speak. Whoo, that is hard on the flesh. It is hard when God says that to us. And he does. If you haven't experienced it yet, you will, if you will listen. So we have to be willing to wait on the Holy Spirit and obey his instructions and listen. Because it's an important part of the Christian journey. We have to be willing to ask questions that we think we already know the answer to. Like, God, we've already been here and done this. I already know how to fight this enemy. You already won for me. We know that the Philistines are the enemies of Israel. So we know you already, you know, told us that you're going to defeat our enemies. So we know that you want to defeat them. So is there really a question here? A lot of times that's how we live our Christian life. We think, surely God is already answering this question. He's already answered it in the past. Do I really need to stop and ask God? Let me just give you some advice. When you are learning to try to hear the voice of God, because some people probably, when I say things like let God lead you all day, they go, what? So I'm supposed to ask God if I'm supposed to eat peanut butter and jelly or ham and cheese? I mean, maybe if you're on a diet and you're asking the Holy Spirit to help you, you know, I mean, because I'm just telling you, I have asked God, the Holy Spirit, please help me to have self-control in what I eat. It's hard. And I promise you, I will go to get some more chocolate or something, and I will hear in my head, you don't need that. It's hard in that moment, because I'm telling you, if I want it, it's because I want it. And, you know, in those moments, that is a choice right there. People say, what? Does God care what I wear? Sometimes I have put on things and I feel like, nope. And now, does that mean every day that I go to put on clothes and I have to go, oh, Holy Spirit, do you want me to wear the black jeans or the blue jeans? No. But when you feel like a stop, like when you find yourself wrestling over what you're about to do, just go ahead and pay attention to that and say, God, are you saying something to me? Because sometimes he might be changing us. And sometimes he does. My mom told that when they first got saved, she had a friend. And our friend had gotten saved and she was coming to church. And she said to my mom, if those ladies at that church think that I'm going to lower the headlines on my skirt, they have got another thing coming. My mom said, nobody said anything to her about her skirt. See, those are the times when God sometimes, now granted, people judge in church. You might as well just accept it. It's going to happen at times. Is it wrong? Yes, it's wrong, but it happens because we are human and sometimes we do it and it's the wrong thing. But if many times when God begins to deal with us about something, and God will deal with us about things like clothing and things like eating, and especially things like speaking and what we say and how we respond to people. And in those moments, we can go, everybody at that church is always judging me. And nobody maybe has said anything. Why? Because I have learned we have a tendency to project what God is dealing with us onto other people. Like, because if it's God dealing with me, then I get convicted and I have to do something about it. If it's other people, then I have an excuse to, well, see, they're just judging me. They don't have any right to judge me. Why is everybody judging me? Because listen, so if you find yourself struggling with something, instead of getting offended, go, Lord, are you dealing with me about, like, do I need to change this? Because that is how God changes us. He wants to be involved in our daily lives, in the things that matter to us. And so if we will listen, he will deal with us. But we have to be willing to ask questions and sometimes stop and go, God, are you telling me not to go to this gas station today, but to go to that one? Like, does it really matter to you what gas station? Maybe it does. Because maybe that day there is a divine appointment for somebody that you haven't seen in 10 years that you need to invite to church or give a testimony or give a hug to. So learn to listen to those things. We have to be willing to listen also to those things that in the back of our mind, we know we should do. People say all the time, well, I can't hear God. But they say after they have done that something, I knew I shouldn't have done that. How did you know you shouldn't have done it? Because if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do that. Don't say that. Be quiet. And that's surely that. I mean, these people need to hear what I have to say. Like, probably they don't. If you're feeling like you should hush, it's probably better no matter how good your comeback is. And how much you satisfaction you would get in the flesh from saying it and winning that wit battle. Trust me, if you have to go back and eat crow, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So just, you know, learn to hush when the Holy Spirit says hush. So we have to be willing to do those things. When you start knowing, man, I really need to quit listening to this, or I really need to start listening to that, or man, I have known I should read my Bible all day and I've been scrolling Facebook instead. Lord, forgive me. You know, whatever you have to do, Jesus said, if you have to cut your hand off, cut your hand off. In order, it's better to enter into heaven with maimed, with only one hand, than to end up in hell. So does that mean I'm encouraging people to cut your hand off? Of course not. But if Facebook is a problem for you, delete it off your phone. If you know I am spending too much time on Facebook and not enough time reading my Bible, take it off your phone and put your Bible app in place of it. I mean, these are practical things that God will be in dealing with us about. God cares about our daily lives. And Christianity is a daily walk that we walk with Him. And I believe God wants us to learn from this story how to walk and how to wait and how to listen. Let's see. David could have said, surely it's God's will for me to just go ahead and finish what I started the last time. Many times God has a different plan than He had the last time. He is such a God of variety. He has so many different ways of doing things. And if we'll listen and let Him show us, He will show us a different way. So in the battle we covered a couple of weeks ago, Jonathan said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Both of those warriors knew that it wasn't their fight. So it wasn't about whether or not they were a good warrior. They knew it was about whether or not God would work for them. So David knew if God wasn't going before them, it didn't matter how well trained his warriors were, they were going to lose because they needed God to fight for them. So will you put up the next slide, Joe? We need to hear. Oh, yeah, I skipped over this. Okay, I do want to read this. I like this. It says, I start off every conversation in the spirit of ripping off a Band-Aid quickly. How many of you have ever heard the, it's kind of a terrible saying, but the saying, rip the Band-Aid, just rip the Band-Aid. Just say what needs to be said. Just do what needs to be done. Listen, if God is telling you to handle it, then yes, handle it. But some people are like this and they want to very slowly and think about it the whole time. Listen, if we're that way and God is saying it's time to move, then rip the Band-Aid and move. But if God is saying, leave that Band-Aid there for a little bit longer. Listen, if you have ever had a toddler and put a Band-Aid on a mosquito bite, like seriously, they want to leave that thing there until it falls off. But sometimes God knows we need to leave a situation alone. Even if we think it needs to be handled, we need to wait until God says, handle it. So, okay, go ahead and put up the next one. Oh, my words didn't show up. Well, you'll just have to pretend. I don't know. They were on my computer when I sent it. But anyway, you can just go ahead and I'll just tell them what it's supposed to say. So it said on my computer, yes and now. Because we need to hear God say both of those things. Sometimes God says yes, but it doesn't say now yet. And like with David, he is planning to deliver, but we need to wait until God says to move. And so we need to hear both. We need to hear yes, and we need to hear now. God will teach us, because sometimes he's not saying either yet, and we struggle because the answer seems so obvious. It seems like surely God would have me handle this and do this and walk in this and do this now and whatever it is. So we need to, if there is a question mark, a question mark, sometimes just wait. Give it a little bit more prayer. If you're having a discussion and you and your husband can't come in agreement and it just seems like things are just so hazy, wait and give it some more prayer and say, God, what are you saying here? What are you doing? Will you make it clear so that we can obey you? And sometimes all it takes is a little bit more waiting, which we all love to do. Amen. So how do we know that God is going before us? Well, this brings to me what I was saying earlier. We have to learn to flow. Psalm 32:8, I've shared this lots of time before because God has, like, every word God has just spoken to me through this verse. But Psalm 32:8 says, I, this is God speaking, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. The first definition, oh, there's the words. The first definition of the word teach in the Hebrew is to flow as water. It also means to point as with the finger. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. We have to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. We have to learn him, let him lead us. Exodus 4, I want to show you Exodus 4, and Brian read part of this in Sunday school this morning. When Moses was going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, God spoke to him, and Moses' response in verse 10 said, then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. So I'm not eloquent. Even after you spoke to me, God, I'm still not eloquent. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, and the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. That's the same word there. Flow with as water. We have to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. Here, God was saying to Moses, yes, and now. Yes, go. Yes, go now. I will be with you, and I will teach you what you shall say. Okay. I want to show you something. Will you put up the next slide, Joe? It doesn't work? The picture doesn't work? Is it? Yeah, it's a picture. Okay, yeah, there we go. Okay, this is my sweet baby, Eden. This is one of the pictures. I didn't post the most, the one that looks the saddest, because she did have things, those little connected to her to test everything and to make sure everything was doing what it was supposed to do, and oxygen and all that. And when she was in the hospital, God showed me something about a proverb that I had never seen before. I was desperate to get her home. I cannot imagine people like Mary and Norm that spend months with their children in the NICU. But I mean, 9 days was a very long time for me. The Lord dealt with me in multiple ways, with my faith, with my pride, like, because people are telling me how to do things with the baby and checking her diapers and making sure I knew how. And I'm like, I have done this 5 times before. Like, I know how. And the Lord would deal with me about my pride, Jen, and you need to be teachable. You need to have a good attitude. You need to set an example. I had to apologize to the nurses at any given time because I was so hormonal and exhausted and emotional, you know. But God showed me something because I was just desperate to get her home. And the doctor was the one who had to decide and tell me when we could, like, take her home. And I kept asking, and he kept saying no. And I said, well, what if we bring oxygen home with us? Then can we take her home? Because I was waiting on him. And the Lord showed me this. If you put up Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. So I had heard that scripture. I had read that scripture. I read a proverb a day for a long time. I had read that scripture before. But something that the Lord showed me, and you can't see it on this, but if you look in the Bible, in the New King James, the word like or as is in italics. Anytime that a word is in italics, it's because it was added by the translators to help you understand it better. And as I was studying this, while I was in the hospital, I noticed that the word like was in italics. So it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. And then God, the Holy Spirit, who knows everything that's in the Bible, connected John 7, verse 37 through 38. Will you, or 38 through 39. Will you put that up, Joe? Jesus was talking, and he said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So here, Jesus used the term rivers of water to describe, it was a metaphor for the Holy Spirit and the way that what he does and how he speaks through us and how he flows through us. And it was like all of a sudden God showed me the king's heart, which in that situation represented the doctor, because he was the one signing off and making the final decision as to when I could take my baby home. And God showed me his heart is in my hand. And the Holy Spirit, because if you go back to Psalm 20 or Proverbs 21:1, it says the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. And it was like God showed me, I, the Holy Spirit, I will turn his heart. And then all of a sudden, rather than it being the doctor's decision, it was God's decision. And God, the Holy Spirit, was deciding. And he was going to speak to the doctor and decide when we needed to take Eden home. And that is just one way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And he makes the word that was spoken thousands of years ago speak to our lives, speak to where we are, because he knows where we are. And so he does speak, he does lead, he does flow, and learning to flow with him is like a dance. I want to show you a video. Do you have the video, Joe? Okay. I want to show you this video because as we learn to follow his movements, this is just an example, people will begin to notice that something is changing about us, and he will begin to lead our movements as we walk with him. He will lead us and teach us how to do things that we never thought and that we couldn't do without him. But if we will learn to let him lead our movements, lead our words, lead where we go, lead what we say, lead how we respond. And God does not just take over our life. He asks us to surrender so that he can lead us. But then he speaks many times in a still small voice that we hear all day, man, I should have done this. Now, I do want to tell you, be careful, because the enemy will also come and speak all day. He will condemn you all day long. He'll say, "You are a terrible Christian. Why are you even trying? Look, and you have blown it all day. Just give it up for this week and try again next week." God doesn't speak to us like that. This Christian walk is not about being a student and trying on our own to do a good job so that we get a good grade. I don't write this message like, "God, I'm going to write this message and hand it to you and see if you give me a good grade." It is a process that I do with him, that I say, "God, I need you. I need to know what scriptures you want me to share. I need to know what illustrations you want me to share. I need you to walk with me every day, all day, and lead me." And when I realize that I have missed it, and oh, I was not listening to God, and I was hearing him tell me to hush 5 minutes ago, and I kept talking, just right then, "God, I am sorry. Please forgive me." And he will forgive us. And we can go from there and continue to walk with him. It is a lie that you have to spend 3 days in penance away from the presence of God trying to live life on your own. That's how the enemy keeps a lot of Christians from victory, is that they spend 3 days, you know, separated from God because they blew it 3 days ago. That's not the answer. Now, do you need to be repentant? Yes. But come immediately, say to God, "God, I blew it. I am sorry." It might take your flesh. You might still feel guilty. Our feelings sometimes, it takes a while to catch up with the Spirit. But take the word. Believe that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So go, "Okay, I have genuinely confessed my sins. So God says he has forgiven me. So God, I am choosing by faith to walk with you and to believe that your presence is with me, because you said you would never leave me. And that you will lead my movements, even though I blew it this morning. I don't have to spend the rest of the day and just throw today out and try again tomorrow. I can still have your presence with me. God wants us to make it. He is not watching going, I knew they were going to fall. And I know, you know, and I figured they wouldn't make it. He wants us to make it. He is the one who called us. He is the one that is rooting. Jesus ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for us. Why would he be interceding if he didn't care if we made it or not? He wants us to make it. And so I just want to encourage you. We need to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. And I want to end with this verse. Psalm 16:2 says, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Anything that we do. 16:2. Nope, I'm going to get it somewhere. One of those Psalms. Psalm 16:2, I think. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Listen, the sooner that we realize that how much we need him every day, the better off we're going to be. And the sooner that we realize that he really does love us and he really does want us to make it, the more hope we have to do this Christian life. Do not spend your Christian life thinking that God thinks that he knows we're going to fail without him. That's why Jesus came. Because our weakness is not, we're not enough without him. He loves us and he wants us to make it. We have to be honest with him along the way. But if we will be honest and walk with him, he will walk with us. So, it's about continual surrender, listening, and flowing with his strength. But it starts with his love, his life and death to pay for our sin, and his power to live the life he's called us and created us for. He provides the opportunity and the invitation, and we offer the surrender. So I just want to invite you, as this song plays, this song, I love this song. It says, it's called Confident. And I am confident and brave, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. And learning that this life really is about him. So we just want to invite you. If you need prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you. We're going to get ready for our baptism. And so, yes.